Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, today we have a very unique opportunity to celebrate the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. Now, the church doesn't celebrate too many nativities, for sure. John's and, you'll never guess the other one, Jesus. The fact of the matter is that John's nativity is 6 months to the day before Jesus' birth. And so therefore, if you haven't started shopping yet for Christmas, you got 6 months to get it done. You see, the church is really good at martyrdom celebrations or observances. So if you want to celebrate or observe John the Baptist's martyrdom, come back towards the end of August and we can celebrate the festival of the beheading of John the Baptist. But today, I think we'll just focus upon the birth of John. Truth be told, John the Baptist was right down a strange individual. Think about the clothes he wore. The camel's hair robe with a leather belt around his waist. Now, there was a TV program called What Not to Wear. He would have been a great candidate because he kind of stuck out like a sore thumb in the outfit that he wore. But then there was his diet. Locust and wild honey. Now, the honey I could handle, but the locust, not even covered with chocolate. And a member told me after the first service, he tried chocolate-covered crickets when he was in Thailand, and they weren't very good either. So I wouldn't go after what John the Baptist eats either. And then, if that's not enough, he liked hanging out in the wilderness, which would put him right in the range of being a strange individual. But we also read in Scripture where all Judea and Jerusalem went out to meet him as he was there at the crossroads by the Jordan River, and he baptized many of them. See, John the Baptist could do one thing very well. He would attract attention. Kind of like an accident on I-80 during rush hour. The rubberneckers go by and says, "Do you see that guy? There you have John the Baptist." But you see, the point is, it's not about the person of John the Baptist. It's about John the Baptist and the message that God had called him to proclaim. And so today we're just going to refer to John the Baptist as the voice. In fact, John referred to himself as, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." So John had one vocation, to be the voice preparing the way for the coming of Jesus Christ. So John's message would be one of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And through that, he would point to Christ and said, the Lord's forgiveness is on the horizon. God's comfort, God's grace, and God's mercy is found in the one who comes after me. Oh, by the way, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. The voice, that's John the Baptist. You know, one of my favorite movies of all times is the Indiana Jones of The Last Crusade. And that's when they go after the Holy Grail and they actually find it there in the temple in the middle of the desert. And they got the grail and all that takes place, and then the woman, it's always the woman, she took it too far beyond, took it too far beyond the entrance, and the whole temple began to collapse. And the floor split open and the chalice went on the ground, and it was held right on the edge of a little crevice within that opening in the floor. There Indiana Jones was, hanging on to his father's hand with one hand and reaching as far as he can with the other just to reach the chalice, but it's just out of his reach. He strains and struggles. His whole thought process is focused upon the Holy Grail. As the temple is crumbling all around him, it was finally the voice of his father that simply said the words, "Indiana, let it go." That snapped him back to reality, and his father pulled him out of the crevice, and they left the temple right when it all crumbled and the grail has been lost forever. It's a great movie. You ought to watch it. The voice he heard was his father. Now, it's been a few years ago, but there was an investment company called E.F. Hutton. And the commercial went, when E.F. Hutton talks, people... See, you watch the same television shows I do. My question for you this morning and the challenge I have for you in the sermon is, what voices are you listening to? You see, you and I live in the valley of the shadow of death. We make our trek to our eternal home, but it passes through the valley of the shadow of death. And in this valley, there are literally a cacophony of voices that cry out to us day after day after day. It's kind of like turning the channel on your FM dial as you go across the stations, and all the different voices pop out, kind of overlapping one another. And it's hard to distinguish which ones you really ought to and should listen to. But within the world in which you and I live in, there are voices that cry out to you, warfare. There are other voices that cry out to you, discomfort and sorrow and guilt and shame. All these voices are there crying out to you day after day after day, droning on moment after moment. We shouldn't be surprised it's a voice that seeks to lead you astray. See, the reality is in the garden, we hear the serpent in the tree, and its voice said, "Did God really say? Did God really say you were not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?" I didn't hear him say that. So therefore, it's not a problem. And Eve saw that the fruit was good for food, and it was pleasing to the eye. So she took of it and gave some to her husband, and the world fell into sin because of a voice. My question for you today is, what do you hear? A voice pronouncing guilt for your sin. See, Satan is great at that. He loves taking those sins that you've committed and the ones that have already been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And he loves to bring them back around again and shove them right in your face and tell you you're not worthy. That sin is unforgivable. That's the voice that seeks to ravage your faith in Christ. Satan demands that you listen. The devil's voice offers only false promises, false hopes, and utter lies. There is no truth in him at all. But still, you and I, even as brothers and sisters in Christ, perk our ears up when he speaks, and at times we listen to him. For these voices are so loud and so droning in our ears, so persistent are they that we cannot bear to hear them anymore. They seem to fill the whole earth with their cry of distress and despair. But yet God, in his grace and mercy, sends voices into the wilderness of our lives. Voices that cry out to you. Voices that proclaim to you the very word of God. Voices that carry the message of Christ and him crucified to your ears, crying out in this wilderness of sin. That's who Isaiah was writing to in our Old Testament lesson for today. He was writing to the Israelites that were held in captivity in Babylon. And by the way, the message that Isaiah would proclaim would seem kind of strange to them. After all, Isaiah's words were words of comfort and consolation. I'd ask the question, why were the Israelites in exile in the first place? Because they were disobedient and sinful, falling short of God's glory day after day after day, until finally God had enough and had them removed from the land of promise and sent to Babylon to be there as prisoners. Hear what God's word says about the Israelites in from Isaiah chapter 5. You call good evil and evil good. You put darkness for light and light for darkness. You put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You who are wise in your own eyes and shrewd in your own sight. You have rejected the instruction of the Lord of hosts and have despised the words of the Holy One of Israel. You know, as I read through that, it really strikes me that they did not deserve or merit words of comfort and aid. But listen to what Isaiah says. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cried to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. What? What? Those words would have seemed somewhat hollow to those that were in exile because they really seemed too good to be true. Comfort from God? We who are in exile because of our sin, God's going to show us His grace and mercy? This can't be true. We don't deserve it. Do you remember how the service started today? See, this is a reason I just love being Lutheran. We don't dilly-dally. We get right to the heart of the problem. Our service started and you readily admitted that you are sinful by nature and unclean. You went on to say that you have sinned against God in your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. And then you went one step further. Not only that, you sinned against God by not only what you've done, but why you have left undone. And then you go on to say that you have not loved the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. In other words, your whole heart has not loved Him. You've broken the first three commandments. And then you confessed, I've not loved my neighbors as my neighbor as myself. Any guess on what commandments those are? 4 through 10. You've committed and admitted before God that you have broken all of His commandments. You deserve, and you said at the end that you justly deserve God's present eternal punishment. You know what? You're right. You do. You deserve all of that and more. My dear friends in Christ, that's bad. In a lot of ways, as I read through that, you're a little bit like the Israelites of old. You've made evil good and good evil. That whole thing about putting darkness for light and light for darkness, bitter for sweet and all that stuff, that's you and me. Yep, that's us. And when we expect God's words of condemnation and wrath, what do we get? As a called, ordained servant of the Word, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the voice that you hear. Today, as we gather in this place, we celebrate the birth of John the Baptist because he prepared the way for him. He prepared the way for Christ to come, raising up the valleys and taking down the mountains, making the flat places plain, so that the word of Christ and Christ may dwell among you and me within His church. You know, this morning as we gather here, we're reminded that that Word of God in Christ became flesh. And He dwelt among us, and that He suffered and died upon Calvary's cross for all the times we, just like Eve of old, listened to the voices that we shouldn't listen to. When we should have been hearing the voice of Christ that says, come. Come, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and receive my very flesh and blood under the form of bread and wine to forgive all of the times you were listening to someone other than me. Come and receive the forgiveness that I have died to give. Whose voice do you listen to? Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.